Okay. Church of Sardis. Does every Lauren? Did you get that Church of Sardis? Did you get that? Because I was afraid, you know, with you being away, that you didn't get it. Everyone have one, and the ones for Philadelphia is on the back, lesson 8. As you leave, if you have not picked it up, but we're on lesson 7, Sardis. You would not want to get this kind of letter from the Lord. And so let's do a quick look at the background of the city of Sardis, sort of what was going on before and during the time. Sardis was the ancient capital of Lydia, and it lies 30 miles south-southeast of Thyatira, and was on one of the oldest and most celebrated cities of Asia Minor. And it was built above a plain. And there was this mountain, and it was built up on this mountain. And on the sides, two particular, it was straight up and down, practically. And so they, it was like a real citadel. It could not be attacked easily, only from the front. And so from three sides were, they thought, were really, really protected. In fact, only two times in history were they attacked secretly and captured. And so it was part of the of their culture that we are impregnable. And that's what they thought in years and years of being impregnable. And so in ancient Sardis, temples to the goddess Artemis and her brother Apollo were erected, as well as the goddess Roma. And you drop on down, a temple to Augustus Caesar was built there, and there was a cult statue to his son that was there. In 17 AD, the old city of Sardis was completely destroyed by an earthquake in that whole region. And Tiberius rebuilt it. Sardis begged him to put his temple there, but as we have studied before, he built it in Smyrna. And so at the time of the writing, Sardis is no longer the once great city, and it was a dead city close to a dying city. And it amazes me sometimes how the Lord uses the things that are happening in people's lives to approach their spiritual need or their spiritual condition, as I think he did in this letter. Not to say that they weren't, you know, in that condition, but he will address that. Today, Sardis is just a ruined city, and occasionally, you know, archaeologists go and dig around a little bit. But you know, a mighty, impregnable, great, wealthy city to dust. That's a lesson for us, isn't it? Okay. In Sardis, in Revelation 2, as we pick up the story of Sardis, and it begins in verse... I mean chapter 3, excuse me, chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And as you read on down, wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. If, therefore, you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. anywhere in the letter did Christ praise the majority in Sardis for their faith? Did he praise them for their love? Are their service? Are their growth? Their steadfastness? No. Although Thyatira had a problem, the Lord praised them in all these things. And as it appears, Sardis is not under maybe the kind of persecution and the trauma, you know, that Thyatira and some of the other cities were under. And so, you have this church, and the Lord writes them a letter and says, as we will see in verse 1 and 2, what three things did Christ say to the majority in Sardis? What's the first one in verse 1?
I know your deeds.
I know your deeds. You see, we've seen that in every letter. We're dealing with a king and a majesty on high that knows. We can't get anything past him. We can't. The past laurels are gone. He knows our deeds. That can be a comfort and that can be a warning. And in this letter, it proves to be true in both cases. And so, and you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. The word there could even mean are dying, you know, for some who has just a little bit of faith left, but they're dying on the vine, so to speak. And so, and what's the other thing? I have not, what? Not found your deeds completed in the sight of God. And we'll look at these things more closely as we go through the lesson. What does it mean to be dead spiritually? I put down dead. Did I put down those who have died, not alive, those kind of things on your paper? Okay. Sometimes I don't know what I've written on your paper and what I have down on mine. Okay. Those who have died, not alive, death-like. And as we look at these brethren and everything, useless, at a complete standstill. And so those are some of the words that describe from my old dictionary what dead can mean. You know, it's just not dead all, you know, completely gone, no life, no root, no nothing. You know, sometimes it's just almost there and useless and not and being at a standstill. Okay. In John 5:24, Colossians 2:12-13, let's read John 5. John 5:24. Susan, if you get that, would you read it, please? John 5:24.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life.
Okay, and Colossians, Deanna, Colossians 2:12-13, please.
Buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Okay. And so we read these passages and many, many more that might come to your mind. That to know that through faith in Christ, we are made alive. We were dead in our trespasses, but we have been made alive. And those of us who are studying the Hebrews, remember their main problem was falling into unbelief. And they were leaving that faith in Christ and going back under the law. and falling into unbelief. And so, and it says that if they die spiritually, if they do that, and it results in eternal death if you fall back into disbelief. And we have to be careful. Those of us who have once were dead, made alive in Christ, be careful and be diligent not to fall away and drift away, as Hebrews talks about, into unbelief. And some of these brethren there, most of them in Sardis, was doing that, you know. And so not so much going in, under and believing the old law and the Mosaical law, but falling back into old ways are just not doing anything, just standing still, not deeds, not completing the work that they had started. And so we'll look at that more closely. In Luke 15, 24 and 32, Lauren, would you read that? Luke 15, 24 and 32. Well, what's going on in Luke 15? What's the story? The son, the story of the prodigal son. Okay? So just read 24 and 32.
When this my son was dead and is alive again, he was lost in his family. They began to be married. It was right that we should make Mary and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost in his family.
Okay. We all are familiar with the story there. That's why, you know, we won't take time to read it and to understand. But what made him dead? What made this son dead? He was away from the Father. He fell into sin.
He was lost.
And so, like Anisha said, he left the blessings of his father's house, went out. He was serving self, serving sin, living like the world, and he suffered the consequences, didn't he? And so, what made him alive again? Repenting. Okay? Coming to his senses. He woke up and he came to his senses, and there's something else. He came to his senses and he repented, like Sandra said, but what does that mean? What did he do? He returned to his dad. And what kind of heart did he have?
Very humble.
Very humble. In fact, he says, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Let me be a slave in your household. This is an humble, contrite heart. This is not, okay, I've come back and I know I was wrong, and now, you know, we're just going to pretend nothing happened and I'm your son and just give me, you know, just the status quo. A repentive heart is contrite, humble, and he is saying, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. And so, I wrote there in your under number four there, one can be dead to Christ while still alive if they choose to live according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. And you know, in 1 Timothy 5:6, it's talking about the widows there and everything, and Paul uses the term dead, talking about the wanting widow given over to pleasure. And and in Galatians 5, let's turn to Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, of course, the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the flesh are mentioned there. And the fruits thereof. In verse 17 of Galatians 5, it talks about the flesh setting its desire against the Spirit and doing as you please. And then it tells all those things of the fruits of the flesh. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another, so forth and so on. So, alive in faith brings forth this kind of fruit if we live by the Spirit. If we live by the flesh, we will have the fruit that's mentioned by the fruits of the flesh. And so we have to be careful not to be drawn back, and to be careful to keep our eye on the goal of serving Christ and not have our faith become not alive, dead-like, useless. And we're going to look at that in a couple of minutes in this parable that Jesus taught. Let's turn to Psalm 115. In Psalm 115, I just chose a couple of the verses there. It's the idols contrasted to serving the Lord, and are the Lord. And in verse 11, it says, "You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." Down to 17. "The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever praise the Lord." I think he's actually talking about the literal dead here. But in Christ's letter to the to Sardis, he uses that word as if, you know, they were dead. And so, but this is what dead, you know, the dead can't do that. And so, the dead do not fear. They don't trust. They don't praise the Lord or give thanks to Him. In Psalm 118, just over the next page, in verse 1 and 2, I like that reading. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, His loving kindness is everlasting." Oh, let, okay. And so it's praise. Have you known someone whose faith is waning, who maybe even has just completely left the Lord? They don't praise the Lord. They don't thank Him. They don't meditate on His word. They've left that. They don't trust in Him in their everyday life. And so they've become dead to that. Those who are alive in Christ, whose faith is alive, trust in Him, honor Him, praise Him, and trust in Him. And so those things we have to be checking in our lives. And as Christ writes to this church in Sardis, he tells them that they're going to have to remember some things. They have forgotten some things. And he's saying, you know, that's what happens when you don't remember these things. And so as we turn to number E, what did you put down? James 2:17. That's a very familiar verse. Faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Faith with no works is dead. We can sit on the pew. People in Sardis could sit on the pew every time the doors were open and say, "I love Jesus and I believe in Jesus." But if they didn't do anything, you know, baptism isn't even a work of faith. But if they didn't do the works that He has presented in His word to do as His bond servants, then, you know, we're dead. And these folks were dead, Jesus said, are about to die. And so faith, if it has no works, is dead. First Corinthians 13:2. What did you put down? If I have all faith, but do not have love. I am nothing of no use to Christ. Okay? In Luke 13, let's turn there. We're going to go through this. I thought it might help us to understand exactly the condition of the church in Sardis. In Luke 13, 6 through 9, just these few verses, Jesus tells a parable. And what is this parable? It's a story of the what? The fig tree. Okay. Let's read it. Sandra, would you read 6 through 9 of Luke 13?
He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said, "Sir," he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, and if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down."
Okay. What was the owner's complaint? That was the question I asked you concerning the tree.
Had it produced fruit in 3 years?
No fruit in 3 years. Right. And so, what did the owner want to do with it? No, the owner. He wanted to cut it down. He wanted to cut it down because it was, as Elizabeth said, totally useless to him. Didn't have any, it wasn't given to the harvest. What's Jesus talking about here? Is he talking about a real fig tree? What's he talking about here? Is he talking about the kingdom? Is he talking about working in the kingdom? Is he talking about the harvest of the kingdom? And, you know, and here is a tree not bearing any fruit. It's totally useless. It's taking up space. And so, the vine dresser said, what would he do to help the fruit? For it to bear fruit. What was he going to do? Dig around it, fertilize it, cause it to grow so as to bear fruit. You know, if anyone has ever had a garden or had a plant and everything, you know how the dirt gets packed down and everything really hard. The air can't get to the soil. Sometimes you have to do that to trees, is make those holes so that the air and the fertilizer and the water and everything can get to those roots. And so he wanted to cultivate it and to feed it. Well, let's look at that. In this parable, not like the heart of a person. Sometimes it gets weighed down. Sometimes it gets packed down. Sometimes the cares of the world or whatever it is causes it to stop growing. And their faith begins to wane. And so you got to wake up what's there. And so you got to feed it. What do you think the food for a Christian who stopped bearing fruit, what do you think? What's the best thing for him? What they're going to feed on? The Word of God. Starving roots. And so they need the Word of God. They need a good dose of God's Word, and they need a will to obey it and to change those things and to start making ways to grow. And to help them to grow. If the fig tree failed to grow, you know, and of course, there's other things that we're going to be mentioning down here, Lord willing, about their deeds. But if the fig tree failed to bear fruit, what happened to the fig tree? What was it going to happen to it? Cut it down. Okay. And so, a warning. And Christ is going to deal with the same like warning to the church at Sardis. Okay, so we've gotten down to then Revelation 3, 2 and 3. And when he says to these people, what did he say? What did he tell the dead to do? What was the first thing? Wake up, be watchful, be alert. Stop fooling yourself. You know, sometimes we fool ourselves. We get complacent and we fool ourselves. You are not alive. You are dead. That's what he's saying. So, you check with the scripture, examine, judge yourself, wake up, and be watchful, be alert. Okay. Any thoughts on that? On that wake up? Did you all put down anything? What does it mean for the Lord to say, wake up?
Obviously, you're asleep.
Yes.
Something you need to be doing, you're not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think be watchful is a better way to put it.
Be watchful.
Wake up sounds like, yeah, they need to wake up from the dead, but be watchful means they need to keep on being alert, continuing to be.
I think that's a good point, especially from the city where they lived. Remember the background of Sardis, where the two times that they were not on the wall, not watching, not being, they were captured. They thought they were beyond, being taken as a city. But you can be. The devil is out there. Like Lauren said, be watchful, and you got to be on the alert and be diligent about looking for ways to grow and looking at ways that you're falling back into the old ways and looking about you at maybe some of those few there that Christ prays and follow their example. You know, Paul says, follow my example. So be watchful, be diligent, and be on the alert. Number one, for things that are going to cause you to go backwards and things that's going to help you to go forward and to help you grow. And then Christ says, strengthen the things that remain which are about to die. Evidently, their little faith had gotten to the point that it was just a little flicker. Now, whether it was because of trying to serve two masters, I thought it was so funny. It was so wonderful to hear Steve's sermon on faith and little faith. And he stole two of my points here. The Word of God is the Word of God, and it's wonderful that we can look at it. But, you know, maybe they're serving two masters because of the way they are in the city. And they had once been wealthy, and maybe they're serving that, and then trying to serve Christ. People today can try to serve both masters, and it causes them to have little faith. And one of the other things that I put down was doubt. You know, some of these things are going along, and people say, well, the Lord, we're not being blessed anymore. Things are not happening. They're not being persecuted very much. They're complacent, and everything is lovely. And so, maybe the cares of the world or doubt has crept in. Whatever. But, there may be just a little bit of love. There might be just that little ounce of service here and there. Just enough work to keep their hearts fooled. We can just do a little bit and we think that that's enough because we're not maybe watchful for things that we might be doing more, or we're not alert to those things. Maybe we're just comfortable with ourselves. And so The Lord says, strengthen the things that remain. Your deeds are not found to be completed. What do you think? What do you think that means? Your deeds are not found to be completed in the sight of God. You ever start a work of faith and it just drops off? You do it really nice. You know, we can talk about Bible study. We can talk about prayer time. We can talk about calling the sick. We can talk about teaching Jesus to others, talking to others about Him. We can talk about trying to find ways to grow ourselves. And we're going to read the passage in 2 Peter 1 in a minute. But, you know, they just started. Sometimes we start and we want to do right, but then something comes up. Sometimes we just sort of push it to the back burner. Sometimes things get a little hard. And, you know, when we start this work and we don't want to cope with the problems that come up. And so we just fall back into our old ways. We get sort of bogged down sometimes. You know, in churches as a whole, sometimes I've seen where they get so involved in the planning of a work that they never get around to doing it, or they get, you know, they lose sight of the goal of it, and it just never gets done. What are some of your thoughts, though? You know, maybe I missed some ideas about not completing the work. He's talking about their faith, okay, and works of faith. So, what did you think, Lauren, dear? Yes, I found that He said, "Tell the dead to wake up, strengthen." Oh, I understand what you're saying. That it might be a complaint. Okay.
I was not sure where you're going.
Yeah, you know, it is a follow up on the complaint. And to strengthen the things because your deeds are not. So, to me, it's saying grow in the deeds. Complete the work. Complete the work, you know. Strengthen the things and complete it. Don't stop short. Is my thinking... it's okay if you have a different thinking. Anyone have a comment or something that might help? Okay.
I think she's in verse 2 where it says,
yes. Oh, okay.
Okay. I just didn't see.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, and I didn't make it clear, and
actually,
thank you.
It does connect to the strengthening part.
Yes, it does. They needed to strengthen, and they needed to carry it on to completion. You know, one of the things that Christ had told Thyatira, the faithful there, was that they were persevering and they were growing. Remember, they had faith and they had love and they had service, and they were growing and being better than they were. And that's what Christ wants for us. He wants us to grow and be better. Well, these folks had stopped dead, and they weren't even starting ahead, much less completing. So Christ wanted them to wake up, strengthen, and complete their faith and their service to Him as much as as was possible for them. And so, you know, ruts are easy to get in. Solutions, you know, or resolutions, excuse me, are easy to break. And excuses really come by easy, don't they? And so Satan is always out there trying to get us and catch us, to defeat us, whether we're in a weak moment or whether we might be proud because of a strong moment. He's going, you know, and let pride take us and make us unfruitful and cause us to be blind. Pride is one of the most deceitful arrows that Satan uses. And we need to be constantly on the alert in our lives, in our own lives, about that. So, what did he say? What was the next thing? After he said to wake up and strengthen and complete, what's verse 3? Well, what about remembering?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think this, you know, waking up to the fact, but sometimes you don't wake up totally and you're not as diligent as should be if you don't remember. In Hebrews, we've been talking about if the gospel of Christ won't bring a person back who's once a Christian and has fallen away, nothing is going to bring them back. Remember what you've received and heard. The guiding force in success is the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Romans 5. In Romans 5, in verse 8 and 9, it says, now these folks were to remember what they heard, what they had received. They are Christians. They once were alive, but now they're dead. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Chapter 6, verses 17. So many verses we could use. Thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you become obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And so, you know, the Lord came and died for me. And I believed that. And everything that his gospel entails for me, the blessings, the responsibilities of serving him, and all that I embraced by this faith that I once had in Christ. They hadn't remembered that. Paul talks to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11 about remembering the Lord's death correctly, you know, because they were making a mess of the Lord's, and some of them were sleeping. They were losing faith. Some of them were dead, you know. They had already died because they weren't remembering and judging the body rightly. And these people were not remembering from whence they've fallen and what they had believed in, and what was the guiding force in their lives. Remember that. Does anyone have a suggestion, or, you know, it's okay if you disagree with my take on that. We're here to learn. But to me, and as we, in our own lives, we get to slipping back. We get to our faith waning a little bit. Remember. And that's why I think the Lord thought it was important for us to remember his death every first day of the week. And to remember that every day, too. That where we were and what he did so that we could have eternal life with him and all the blessings that we have in him. And then the next thing that I think, we will do this last, we will finish up number 5. He says to keep it. What does keep it mean? Remember what you've received and heard. It's got to be the gospel. It's got to be, you know, his way of living that he wants his people to do. Keep it. Focus. Willpower. diligence, prayer, trust, and courage to keep on keeping on. Because sometimes we fall down. Get back up, trust in the blood of Jesus, and keep on keeping on, doing the best you can. That's all Jesus is saying to these people. Their faith is just about gone. And he says, remember, keep it. The conclusion, of course, is this is part of repenting, isn't it? Repenting and be alive in your faith and service. Look for opportunities to serve. Take advantage of the opportunities to grow. Take advantage of ways to serve others. Make the changes in your life that will awaken and have your faith grow. Yes, dear.
I think there's an emphasis here in my mind with your children.
Yes.
Because it comes right after to remember what you've received in her. I think the emphasis is on the word.
Obviously, yes.
Everything you say comes from that, but if we're not holding fast to the word and making it an integral part of our everyday life, then none of that stuff's going to fall off.
Absolutely. Keep it, I think, is talking about the word. Lauren, you know, really zeroed in on that. Keep it. Keep what you've heard. Keep what you've received. Any thoughts? Thank you, Lauren. Any other thoughts or questions? Lord willing, we will pick up with number 6. We will talk about 2 Peter, the first chapter, in number 8, if you would like to read that and make any notes under number 8. Okay? And the next lesson is out on Philadelphia. And any
what's
other...
What is the verse
yes.
in
2 Peter? 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2-11. You know that growing chapter? Adding and growing and that kind of thing? Okay. Any other thoughts before our closing?